Hey everyone, my name is Keaton. Thanks for checking out one of our sermons today. We're so glad that you're here. We want to connect with you and your family. The easiest way to do that is to text River Church to 97,000. There you can ask questions, submit prayer requests, and even support the River Church financially. At the end of the day, we just want to connect with you and be a blessing any way that we can. You can also visit our website at theriverchurch.cc to learn more about us and what we have going on as a church. Thanks again for joining us. We hope you're blessed by today's message.
So tonight I'm excited, taking a look at one of my favorite passages in Scripture, but really just diving deeper into this series called Refined. And the idea of refinement, right, is that purifying, right, that taking of something that isn't pure and making it purified. And so taking a look at specifically in our lives, that idea, that same idea, that same process of refinement takes us from people who are sinful, people who are a mess, and we place our faith in Christ Jesus, and there is this refinement process where he gets rid of and he begins to purge and purify our lives. And he purifies, he refines us for the sake of holiness. And that word holiness, I throw it around a lot. It is in Greek, the word hagios, which means to be set apart and used by God, something that is completely sacred. And it's interesting, when we think about sacred things, a lot of times we think about like a church building, or we think about like the church stage, or sometimes maybe there's like, you know, some sort of altar down front or something specific at the church that we kind of like view as sacred. But the reality is, things are not called sacred in Scripture. We are called sacred because Christ has made us holy, made us, and is continually helping us to grow in this process of holiness, this process of hagios, which means for us to be set apart and completely sacred. Now, I'd imagine some of you in this room may be thinking immediately, Pastor, you can talk about being sacred all you want, but me, I'm the last thing that could ever be considered sacred. And the reality is, sin has caused us to not be sacred. But Christ overcomes our sin. And tonight we're going to talk a little bit about that, what it means for us to be sacred and what it means for us to pursue holiness. And so we're going to talk about that, but let's pray if you'd bow your heads with me. Lord, we turn to you this evening and we ask that you would use your word to teach us, to guide us, to direct us to live differently. Lord, we pray that as we walk through your word, you would call us to something greater, Lord, and that we would be moved, challenged by your word, that we would not just stay the same old. Lord, we love you and we thank you for your word and the truth that it brings us. In your precious and holy name, Jesus' name, amen. So grab your Bibles. Like I said, if you don't have a Bible, there are Bibles back at guest services. Go back, grab one. We want you to have God's word. We're going to turn to the book of 1 Peter, 1 Peter chapter 2. And I love that, I love how Peter writes 1 Peter and really 1 and 2 Peter. He writes with this idea of what it means to be set apart. He looks at people who don't understand what it means to be sacred. And he looks at people who don't understand what it means to be holy. He says, we have this holy God and we are not holy. And so here is what it looks like to live holy, to pursue that sacredness in our lives, to look at that refinement process. And so we're going to take a look at 1 Peter 2, 1 through 10. And I'm going to read the whole thing. And then we're going to go back and we're going to kind of dissect it piece by piece. So it says this, 1 Peter 2, 1 through 10. So put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy, envy, and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good, as you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious. You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in the scripture, behold, I am saying, in Zion, a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. So the honor is for you who believe, but those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone and a stone of stumbling and a rock and offense. They stumble because they disobey the word as they are destined to. Verse 9, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. And so here, Peter, he is highlighting this complete difference between two sets of people. He says, on one side, you have people who are left in darkness. People who reject this stone that has become the cornerstone. And that stumble of this rock of offense. People that stumble because they disobey. And they are left in their disobedience. And what he's painting is this picture of the sinful world that we all start off in. The sinful people, the disobedient people, the people who want to control their own lives, pursue their own things, want nothing to do with God, and don't want God to have anything to do with them. And he describes this life in darkness, this life stumbling, lost. Many times pastors will talk about lost people. That's what they mean. These people, people in life, who are lost in spiritual darkness because they want nothing to do with God and they want to live their own lives disobedient and separated from him. And the way that Peter describes that is just this utter rejection. And then on this side, he paints this other set of people, these people who have been called out of that darkness into marvelous light, that have been taken from this purposeless, sinful, disobedient life, and brought to be this, what he says in verse 9, chosen race, royal priesthood, holy nation, who are God's own possession, that they look and they see this cornerstone who is Jesus Christ, and they follow him. He is precious to them. They believe him. They are not put to shame, and they live differently because of it. And so this picture is picture who are of people who are left in the world and people who believe the gospel and are radically changed. And so we know that we are born sinners, born lost, born into this darkness. Why? Because the world is fallen. But Christ loved us. God loved us so much that he sent his son Jesus to the cross, which we celebrate on Friday, to die and take our place, to take the punishment for our sin, our disobedience, what we earned because we chose a life of darkness. And he dies paying the penalty. And then what we celebrate on Easter, which is coming, is the resurrection of Christ. That not only did he pay the penalty, but he conquered that which enslaved us, darkness. Paul says in Romans, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, and you believe in your heart that he is risen from the dead, you will be saved. That if you call on the name of the Lord, you will not be put to shame. That's what he even says, that's what Peter even says here in verse 6. For it stands in scripture, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. The reality of salvation, the salvation, the forgiveness for humanity, the cornerstone The very foundation that it all is based off of is Jesus Christ. And so Peter reassesses this truth. He says, if you don't know the gospel, then this whole holiness thing doesn't matter. This whole living a moral life, this whole living a purified life, it doesn't matter because you are still living in darkness. And so the reminder here is, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, tonight is the night. That is your first step towards pursuing holiness. But those of us who do call on the name of the Lord, who do say, all right, this is who I believe in. I believe in Christ Jesus as my Savior. I believe in Christ Jesus as the cornerstone of my life. He is my Lord. He is my salvation. In verse 9, you know, I told you we were going to take this a little bit out of order. Peter describes who you are, what your identity is, that you are no longer a child of darkness. You are no longer under this wrath. You are no longer lost, but instead you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into this marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. And so there's this reality that you are a holy priesthood. Now, it doesn't mean you have to go and get yourself a white collar, right? I'm not wearing a white collar tonight. I'm not a priest in the sense of the rest of the world, how they think of priests, right? Which is this designated role for these specific people. But the reality is, we are priests in the sense of we are chosen by God, we are his people, and we are meant to go out into the rest of the world and be his people amongst a lost world. And so there's this reality that we're called to be sacred people. Sacred people. Why? So that when people who are lost, when they look at you, they see God's possession. And they go, that seems fantastic. That looks fantastic. That we look and we demonstrate the majesty, the wonder, the purity, the love, the kindness, the truth of God. And that as his priests in this world, as his priesthood, his people in this world, that the lost look at us and go, I want to be part of that. Whatever's going on there, that seems like good stuff. Why? Because we demonstrate the characteristics of him who we follow. And so there's this reminder that God has used his actions to choose us and to make us holy according to not our works, but his works. What he has done. He went to the cross. He rose from the grave. He called us out of marvelous light. And he is instilling these things in us. He's walking us through the refinement process. And so we look and we say, every choice, every word, every action is called to be holy. Why? Because God is making us holy. Those of you in this room, when I talked about the idea of sacred, you say, Pastor, I can never be sacred. You're right. On your own, you could never be sacred. On my own, I could never be sacred. But who makes us sacred is Christ. Who makes us sacred is God working in us. And we must continue to pursue it in our lives. Not just in some parts of our lives. Not just in the parts of our lives that we show people on Tuesday night or the parts of our lives that we show people on Sunday mornings, but all parts of our lives. The parts of our lives when our spouse is yelling at us. The parts of our lives when we feel like we're being treated unjustly. The parts of our lives that we want to demonstrate when we're stuck at the Secretary of State for more than 1 hour. or we're stuck in traffic, or someone cuts us off, or the person in front of us at the grocery store is having a really long conversation with the cashier and we got someplace to be. Right? In all of these areas, we're called to demonstrate the holiness of God, the character of God. And so, Peter talks about in the beginning the reality of taking those steps as a believer. Look back all the way to verse 1. So put away all malice, all deceit and hypocrisy, envy and all slander, like newborn infants long for pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you tasted that the Lord is good. And so there's a reality here. Some of us think all that we're required to do as a believer is to put away the bad stuff, right? As long as we don't do sins, then we're good. And what Peter describes here is that is a newborn mindset. He goes, yes, that's important, but that's the baseline. Those things, malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, slander, those are the things that spiritual infants put away. Those are the first steps, is cutting out those things in your life. But the reality is you have to grow up and begin to introduce the deeper things of God's word, the deeper truths of scripture. It's been interesting walking through this last year and a half with my daughter, right? There's a reality. There are things that are poison to her. There are things that are good for a time. And then there are things that will permanently help her grow. And so we look and we say, obviously we keep those things like cleaning chemicals stashed away and locked. Because if she had those things, they would hurt her body. She can never have those things. And so part of just simply being alive is not consuming those things. And that's what he's talking about here with this idea of malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander. He goes, the very first step as you follow Christ and you pursue holiness is starting to put away those sinful things in your life and lock them up. Keep them out of you living for Christ. Why? Because they are spiritual poisons to you. But then there's a process of, there is this pure spiritual milk. My daughter, for a time, lived off of milk, right? As she should. Because when she was 2 weeks old, if I threw down a steak in front of her and said, here's dinner, I would probably be going to jail, right? For treating my daughter poorly, right? Because she couldn't handle that. She didn't have teeth to chew it up. She couldn't use a knife. She shouldn't be using a knife, right, to cut it up. She didn't understand how to take that. Maybe she'll gnaw on it for a little bit, but she's not going to get any sustenance for it. Why? Because she's not there yet. And so she lived off of milk. But there came a time, and it's real recent, is she had to move off of milk. And it's not a bad thing that she moved off of milk. Why? Because eventually I started to feel bad for my daughter, right? I'm sitting there and I'm just looking at her, I'm like, oh, milk again? That's tough, right? You've been drinking that for a while. And I'm sitting here over here, right, eating some nice food, right? Enjoying, you know, whatever it is that's on the plate this evening. And she's stuck with milk, right? She's stuck with milk over and over again. And I remember this last time we went down to Florida. My family lives in Florida. I grew up in Florida. I'm a big seafood guy. I don't really get seafood up here very often. But when I'm down in Florida, you know, seafood's abundant, right? It's not quite as expensive as it is up here. And it's a lot better, right? Some of your mouths are already starting to salivate. Me too. And so as I'm sitting there and I'm eating my seafood, I look at my daughter and I'm like, you know, it's time, right? You're going to have to taste some of this, right? I think I was eating crab at the time. I gave her a piece of crab and she ate it. And just the biggest smile came across her face, right? Why? Because it was something beyond milk. She starts to need more nutrients, more protein, but she also needs that which tastes good. And so in your spiritual walk, some of you in this room have been drinking newborn milk for way too long. Some of you have been living off of poison for way too long, and you need to start by locking that in the cupboard. You need to start by getting that out of your life. But some of you have gotten rid of the poison, and you've been living off of milk for far too long. And here's what Peter says, that you may grow up into your salvation. As you see that the Lord is good, that there are deeper things that are tasty for you that you're missing out of because you're content staying shallow. You're content only being spiritual on Tuesday nights and Sunday mornings. You're content only letting God into pieces of your life. The reality that he calls us to is he looks and he says, all things must pursue God's holiness. You must grow in God's holiness. This is a continual process of holiness. I talked about it last week. This continual process of refinement, what this refinement looks like in your life. He says, this is the process of growing up. This is the process of falling in love with the goodness of God in your life. And it's deeper than just spiritual milk. It's deeper than just avoiding poisons. It's filling yourself more and more with the wisdom of God and the love of his character and the love of his ways and being holy. Pursuing holiness. Craving holiness. Tasting the truth of God's word and continuing to eat, to drink in the goodness of God through his word. That your mind might move from darkness into light. That you may continually be purified, refined, to be used by God. So then the question comes, how? Well, we see in this middle portion, verses 4 through 8, it's all about Christ. It's all about Christ. Why? Because Christ is our example. And if we love these things, if we see these things, we want these things in our lives, then we crave whatever it is he craves. Reminds me of when I was growing up. I lived just a little bit away from my cousins. And my cousins, they were a couple years older than me. And so whatever they did, I did. Right? Whatever they were doing, whatever they thought was cool at the time, I was doing it. Because I saw them, and I loved them, and they were funny, and they were fun, and I just thought they were awesome. And so whatever they did, I did. They got into skateboarding. I was way too little to skateboard, but I did my best. A lot of scraped knees, right? A lot of road rash on my hands from falling. They got into, I remember specifically, they got into, if you know what airsoft is, it's like little plastic BB pellets, right? They got those pellet guns from Meijer. And I remember my parents looked at me and they're like, Justin, I think that you're a little bit too young to be doing this, right? Your cousins are a little bit older. And they're like, it really hurts. And I was like, no, mom and dad, it's going to be fine, right? I'm big. I can tough it out. And they're like, okay, fine. Then you need to get shot with it. And I was like, I don't know about all that, right? Like, couldn't I just do the shooting of the people with the BB guns, right? I don't want to get shot. And so I remember going out, and my parents didn't do it. Of course, my cousins did it because they were like, let me do it, right? And my parents were like, I'm not shooting my kid with a BB gun, right? And so they go out there, they get this airsoft gun, and they shoot me in the back. And, man, tears start welling up in my little eyes. I was like probably 7 or 8. And I'm like, yeah, I'm all good, right? Like trying to hold it, trying to pretend like it didn't hurt, just so I could do what they were doing, just so I could hang with the big boys, just so that I could follow in their footsteps. There was a desperation that I had to be like them. Why? Because I saw them as something awesome. For us, we say that we see Christ like that, but when it comes down to living out the character of Christ, we say, I'll do it as long as it doesn't mess up my schedule too much. I'll do that as long as it doesn't hurt, as long as it's not tough, as long as it doesn't produce difficult conversations, as long as it doesn't mean radical change. The reality is, when we look at Christ and we look at the things that he's called us to, we have to see him as exactly what Peter describes him as, the cornerstone. That we honor him, and that verse 5, I love verse 5, he says that you yourselves are living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood and to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. What does that mean? Offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Back in the Old Testament, those sacrifices look like animals. Well, as you see, there's no goats lined up to be sacrificed tonight. So what does that look like? That sacrifice is described elsewhere in Scripture as a sacrifice of our lives. The way that we live. The way that you and I live is sacrificial to God. That it's acceptable to God. Why? Because Christ Jesus has called us into holiness. And so when we live our lives being built up in holiness, cutting things out, living differently, setting addictions aside, loving people who seem unlovable to everyone else, being patient when it's impossible, being patient, being kind when kindness is nowhere shown to us. When we live the ways that God calls us to live in holiness, that is our sacrifice. And God sees that as acceptable and good because he sees it as the sacrifice of our lives, the spiritual sacrifice. When we look at Christ and we live as if he is the cornerstone of our lives, to which he is, we begin to sacrifice things. Man, you know, I don't need to drive that car. Why? Because I can use that money for something else, to honor the Lord. Man, I don't need to treat that person that way, to get revenge on them, to get back at them. I'm going to forgive them. Why? Because that's what God calls me to. Man, everyone here is just ragging on that person, tearing them down, and they might deserve it, but me, I deserved eternity in hell, and Christ showed kindness to me. I'm going to go show some kindness to that person. Me, I know if I go to that place, I'm going to be tempted to sin, and so I won't go. I'll sacrifice whatever comes with going to that place. Why? Because I refuse to even be tempted by that poison in my life. This is the reality of that pursuit of holiness. 1 John 1, 2, 4 through 6 says this. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Whoever keeps his word, in him, truly the love of God is perfected. By this, we know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way which he walked. Now, it's important for you to know. Your walk, your actions, don't lead to your salvation. You're not saved because you are doing holy things. You are made holy because you are saved. Christ and his work is the only reason you have salvation. But as you are saved, you should look and say, I am being made sacred by God, and I'm going to live differently because of it. Christ sacrificed it all for me, so I will sacrifice. I will be a living sacrifice. I will live in a way and be place these things spiritually as I sacrifice them to live for the Lord. Why? Because I love him. I honor him. Because he is the cornerstone of my life. Because when I look at him, I see him who is awesome. Awesome. Mighty. Perfect. And so the call is to live how Jesus lived. But here's a question I'll ask you. Do you know how Jesus lived? Do you know what Jesus called you to? Do you know what Jesus likes? Do you know what Jesus dislikes? Do you know what makes God filled with joy? Do you know what stirs up wrath in God? Do you know these things that God is calling you to? Do you know what it means to live in holiness? And it's okay if the answer is no. I don't ask that question to shame you. I ask that question to motivate you. It's easy for us to say, amen, let's live holy lives. And we walk out of here and we have no idea what it means to live a holy life. It is so easy to say, amen, pastor, I will live a holy life. And then the moment there's an opportunity to live in holiness, to live as a spiritual sacrifice, we have no idea what it means to live. And so we go all the way back to verse 3. If indeed you've tasted that the Lord is good. Verse 2, actually. Like newborn infants, long for pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up in salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. And so my encouragement to you is to recognize where you are and to crave holiness. Tonight, if you don't know Jesus, I am not asking you to step out of here and to know every single thing about who God is. My encouragement to you, if you don't know Jesus tonight, is to receive the gospel and be saved. And if you want to do that, we'll have table leaders down front who would love to talk with you about that, would love to answer your questions, would love to pray with you and walk you through that. Tonight, if you are sitting there and you are struggling with poisons that are choking you out from your spiritual walk, that are deadly to you as a spiritual newborn, my encouragement to you is to crave holiness so much that poison starts to taste like poison. To look and say, I so deeply crave the holiness that God has laid out for me, that he's producing in me, that I will be done with these sins in my life that are plaguing me. Some of you in this room, you've put away some sins in your life. Tonight, you're sitting here in this room content with living off of spiritual milk. You've been at the same place in your walk with Jesus for the last X amount of years. You're still doing the same things. You're still believing the same things. You haven't walked in God's word at all. You're content just hearing God's word from me and Pastor Jason on Sundays. But you haven't started reading your Bible. You haven't started attending a growth community. You don't do anything spiritual throughout the week. My encouragement to you is start craving the deeper things. Grow up in your salvation. And for those of you who are sitting here and you hear the goodness of the holiness that God calls you to, but you don't know what that looks like, my encouragement to you, grab your Bible and start reading it. Amen. Now, don't try and read 40 chapters in a day. How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. It's one of my favorite sayings of all time. So I'd encourage you, take the step to start reading your Bible. Tomorrow, read 5 verses. Start there. Next day, read 5 more verses. 5 more verses. Maybe next week, start reading 10 verses. Or 6 verses. Better, you know, like, it's starting that pursuit of holiness. It's more Bible than you were reading last week. My encouragement to you is to crave the holiness that Peter talks about. God has called you into a royal priesthood. He's made you holy. He's made you sacred through what Christ did. That's why we celebrate Easter. Pursue that in your lives. And if you need help with any of that, if you need prayer with any of that, if you need encouragement, table leaders will down here. They would love to talk you through that. They love to pray with you. They love to go before the Lord and seek that alongside of you. But my encouragement to you, remain hungry for Christ. Let's pray. Lord, it can be so easy to become lazy in our spiritual lives. Lord, to get content but not in a way that isn't content with you, that is content just sticking around. Lord, that forgets the wonderful holiness that you've called us to, the wonderful and marvelous light which you've saved us with. Lord, the mercy that you've given us. Lord, I pray that the holiness that you lay before us would continue to bring craving in our lives. Lord, tonight, if someone doesn't know you, my prayer is that they take that first step towards holiness, which is starting a relationship with you, one that leads to their forgiveness, their salvation being chosen. Lord, tonight, for those in this room who are struggling to put away that sin, those poisons in their lives, Lord, I pray that you'd help them to truly set them away, to truly get rid of them, to truly lock them up, to truly avoid them, and to begin to crave that pure spiritual milk that will lead them to joy in you. Lord, but I pray that each of us in our walk with you would continue to grow up. Lord, as we're all at different walks, we're all in different places in our spiritual journey, Lord, that we would recognize that it's still growing up. Growing up into who you call us to be, growing up into holiness, growing up into purity. Lord, and I just pray that you'd help us to represent you well as people who demonstrate your characteristics in all aspects of our lives. Lord, we love you and we worship you. We know that your name alone, mighty name of Christ Jesus, gives us salvation, makes us holy, and continues to grow us. In that precious and holy name, Jesus' name, amen.